I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hey folks, welcome into a new episode of The Memo. It's Wednesday, it's June the 7th, it's 2017. Brad Locke here, Derek Russell is back.
Half the year, nearly over.
That is correct, sir.
That's all I have to offer today.
Summer is upon us. Not officially, but might as well be.
When is the first day of summer?
20-something, 21st.
First day of summer is Thursday, Tuesday, can't read, June 20th.
Okay, less than 2 weeks.
Yep.
It's started to feel like summer somewhat.
The summer solstice will be at 11:24 p.m. on Tuesday, June 20th. Is that the longest day of the year?
I think so.
Yeah, that works.
That's how that works. Okay.
The fall equinox will be September 22nd at 4:02 p.m.
If we do nothing else on this show, we educate the masses.
That's right.
That's what we do.
You have now been edumacated.
How you doing, Derek? You have fun in Chicago?
Chicago? It was all right.
You did the whole Ferris Bueller tour, didn't you?
I did my own Ferris Bueller tour.
Hit
the highlights.
Cubs.
Kept the Cubs game.
Beat the Cardinals,
yes.
Cardinals have now lost like 5 in a row, so I blame that on you.
Because I was there.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Got to go see Hamilton.
Made
my children jealous when they found out about that.
You told your children about me?
Yeah, I did. Why? Told them you went to see Hamilton.
I know a guy that saw a show that you like.
They've been wanting to go see it.
Well, wasn't very good.
Okay.
It was actually pretty terrible, so...
Right.
No, it was all right.
I woke up with a Hamilton song stuck in my head today because I was in the minivan yesterday, and every time I'm in the minivan, the CD's on. My wife and kids just keep it on constant rotation.
I hear you.
No more Mr. Nice President.
It
keeps going through my head.
Oh, never going to be president now.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of my favorite Hamilton songs, though.
Well, good. Good.
I've gotten to where I don't like show tunes normally. I don't know if it's because I've heard this one so much, or actually I just, you know, they're not your typical show tunes.
Sure.
But I like them. I like the whole thing.
If
I wouldn't mind going to see it.
If you had a few more kids, you could start your own production.
I could.
Like two more, maybe you could just do it yourself.
And with the precedent that Lin-Manuel Miranda set, with, you know, you've got people of different races and whatnot playing old white guys.
Sure.
You know, you can. My girls could play like Thomas Jefferson
and
Aaron Burr.
Sure.
And all that.
I think it's great.
I could be in it. I could play Eliza. Although I can't sing.
I can just see you doing the snap. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please don't.
Okay. Wesley enjoy it too?
Well, that was one of her more expensive naps she's ever had. She knows Act 1 really well. She doesn't know a whole lot of Act 2, and she couldn't see because of the way the theater was set up. We were very steep. It was one of those narrow, steep theaters. We were looking straight down onto the stage. So the stuff she knew held her attention, and she kind of sang along and bobbed along. But then once she didn't know Act 2 and couldn't see, she kind of lost attention. So she slept through Act 2.
Well, she's, what, 6, 5?
Yeah.
So it's that age. You can't hold their attention that long.
That was probably the most expensive nap she's ever taken.
That's still good quality father-daughter time.
That's good. Oh, God. Can I get a refund? My kid fell asleep. You want a refund on a Hamilton ticket? I do, actually. Please, yes.
Sorry.
It's all right. It was fun. We had a good time.
Good.
She enjoyed the Cubs game, so.
Good. Yeah. Didn't sleep through that, did she?
No. There was no sleeping through
that. Probably too cold. Was it cold? It was cold.
It was mild. It was not hot, but there was maybe one afternoon where we were like, it's kind of brisk. But it was we were good.
We went up there 10, 11 years ago. Went to see a Cubs game. This was like April, though. Maybe early May. It was freezing.
Yeah.
Especially when we went walking through Chicago. We had Drew was in a stroller at that point. We had one of those big, like, off-road strollers, Eddie Bauer edition.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah, fancy.
And so we had to haul that around on buses, and just it was freezing cold, and the wind was blowing, as it tends to do in the Windy City. and it was not a fun part of the trip. I mean, it was fun looking back that we did all that, but the weather was no good. Well, although what I found was the people of Chicago, I'd never been there, friendlier than I expected, I guess, because when you go to a big city, you know, I guess you don't expect that, but they're very friendly and accommodating when we haul all our kids and other crap under the bus, and you know, it's a nice visit. I'd go back. I've been to New York once. I don't care to go back. I'm sure Chicago's Chamber of Commerce will be calling me to do a pitch for their tourism
promotion. Chicago.
Not as bad as New York, no.
It's Chicago.
No, it's a good town. I liked it.
It's just that shrug emoji. No, I loved it. It was great. Lyft was my friend. Every few blocks was like,
that's like an Uber, right?
It's better. I don't advocate Uber, but yeah, I'll do a little commercial for Lyft, which is now in Tupelo.
What?
As of last week, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
You get Dennis Sid on that.
Lyft. Yeah, we do. I need to tell him that. So.
That'd be good.
Glad you said that. Yeah, that happened last week.
Cool.
So, it's just push a button, come pick me up. Yeah, it's way easier.
Nice.
Okay. Which I guess I could also raise a hand and go, taxi, but, you know.
This ain't the 1950s.
I know. I got my phone. I can custom tip them. I can give them 5 stars if they were nice and give them 1 star if they were crabby.
There you go.
Crabby. Cabby.
Uh-huh. Crabby cabby.
Crabby cabby. So, yeah. Lyft was my friend.
Well, good. I'm glad you had a good trip, Derek. Glad you're back on
Thank
the podcast.
You.
Lauren did fill in last Wednesday very capably. And then Scott... on Friday. He was Scott.
Sorry.
No, it was good. We got a good show today. We're going to have William Moore and Caleb Bedillion on to discuss Tuesday's election results. Of course, the Tupelo City Council had some elections, and several other municipalities in Lee County and around Northeast Mississippi. We'll hit the highlights on that with those guys. Also going to visit with Bobby Harrison, our Capitol Bureau Chief, down in Jackson. The state legislature held its special session on Monday. They got it done in a day's time, so Bobby will give us a recap of what transpired down there. That'll be the show.
That'll do it.
Chris Kiefer, still not here, by the way.
Missing in action.
Still gone.
His loved ones are still searching for him. We hope that they find him soon.
Yeah, so we're still somehow doing a show without Kiefer at the controls, but we'll do the best we can. William Moore and Caleb Bedillion are here with us now to talk about the Tuesday general elections. Gentlemen, welcome in. And I guess we'll start with Tupelo. Caleb had some city council races that were contested. 7 seats on the council, 4 were contested on Tuesday. All the incumbents advanced, Caleb, so no surprises, although Mike Bryan did have a close one, didn't he?
That's right. Not much changing in Tupelo. Not anything changing in Tupelo over the next 4 years. We're going to have the same mayor and the exact same city council we've had for the last 4 years. And yes, as you say, 4 council seats contested yesterday. Closest by far was Ward 6. That's Mike Bryan finishing his 3rd term. He was looking for a 4th term. He had a pretty strong opposition this time around from Casey Grist, Democratic challenger there. Only 15 votes separated the two. Yeah. Mike Bryan prevailed. 51%, a little bit over 50, not quite 51% of the vote. Yeah. It was a tight one. There are 2 precincts in that ward. The Harrisburg precinct came in first. Grist won that precinct. Yeah. So everyone started kind of wondering, do we have an upset on our hands? And then the Wildwood precinct, which typically has more votes than the Harrisburg. It came in. Mike had enough votes in that precinct to wipe out Casey Grist's lead from Harrisburg and put him up just barely.
Yeah, Casey was made a good run there, was well-funded. Kind of curious, what did she say about the campaign? Did she have any future plans for trying to run
for office? Yeah, I mean, she said, you know, obviously thanked her supporters. You know, obviously it's tough to come up, get that close and come up short. You always wonder, you know, couple more doors, couple more phone calls, could you have made up the difference? But, you know, she sounded optimistic, said she's going to continue to be involved in trying to make the city of Tupelo a better place, whatever that looks like. She does work for the city.
Right.
Her job is neighborhood coordinator. She had been temporarily reassigned from the campaign so that there was no appearance that the administration was trying to help her, you know, have access to neighborhood organizations trying to boost her name. But presumably she'll go back into that job. So
yeah.
That position there involves just interfacing with the neighborhoods and city government.
I know she comes from a family that has a political background. Did she mention anything about whether or not she plans to continue? I mean, she had for a newcomer for this is a well.
Oh, that's you know, right.
A good showing
that's
for a
right.
first time.
She's never run for office before, but her father was mayor in the early 80s. She had a brother that was on the old Board of Aldermen in Tupelo. So, yeah, for the first time to seek office, she got close to get this close to knocking off a three-term incumbent and to raise the amount of money she did. I asked her, I said, so are we going to see your name on a ballot again in the future? And, she kind of did the typical, well, yeah. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Yeah, 4 years is a long time.
4 years is a long time. I mean, there are other races. County races. Don't know if that's something she'd be interested in. Obviously, she's not talking about it.
She dipped her foot in the pool, and so there might be a political future.
Historically, from my experience, when you see people run and they get this close the first time, it's hard for them not to go back. But, maybe one and done for her. The other races, not nearly so close. Nettie Davis in Ward 4 easily won a fifth term with 90% of the vote.
Wow.
Just overwhelming. In Ward 3, Travis Beer got a second term with a little over 75%. At Ward 5, Buddy Palmer also got a second term, about the same numbers there.
Yeah.
So no real surprises.
And Buddy beat another newcomer, Hannah Meharry.
That's right. That's right.
There. And,
quite young in political terms, no real experience, but she seems enthusiastic. Maybe we'll see her on the ballot again sometime.
Certainly. And you mentioned Nettie Davis. It'll be her fifth term. I know you're looking into this. She'll end up being one of the longest, if not the longest, serving council person.
Certainly she's the longest council member because the city of Tupelo has only had a city council since, what is it, William? The
mid-90s?
Early 90s. Before that, it was a board of aldermen.
Right.
But if you they're similar, not exactly the same, but they're close enough. I think it's fair to ask, if you combine the counts on the Board of Aldermen, who served the most terms, with the fifth, assuming she completes that fifth term, that'll be 20 years in office. My assumption is that's at least got to be tied for the longest on the board or of aldermen or the city council. But I'm going to be checking in and see what those numbers look like.
Just looking at the makeup of the council, we've talked about this before, Caleb, but, over the past 4 years, they seem to have worked together pretty well, which hasn't always been typical. So it would seem like from that standpoint, I'm sure everybody on the council and Mayor Shelton would probably say, this is a good result. From that standpoint.
Right. As I've pointed out in my reporting, no one explicitly they got pretty close to basically saying, hey, it's been a good, solid team. We need to keep the team together.
Yeah.
We've all worked well. Let's not change out any of the moving parts and adds, let's keep this thing going. And as you say, over the last 10, 15, 20 years, there have been some contentious times in Tupelo city government.
Yeah, William can attest to that.
Yes.
Mayors and councils have not gotten along. Council members have not gotten along with each other. So definitely the current makeup is a little bit more tranquil than
sure.
Not that they always get along. We saw a split vote last night over funding a major thoroughfare project even, but there were no tempers raised over the issue.
Right. Let's look at some other results. Start with Lee County. William, we had a couple of mayors get unseated.
Verona and Platterville.
Yeah.
Depending on who you ask, it was kind of a surprise. And Plantersville, you had a three-term incumbent. Gloria Holland was unseated by Shelton Shannon, who he's currently an alderman.
Right.
But he won a special election 3 years ago when a former alderman had to resign. So, he has limited experience in running a town, but, he picked up a little over 53% of the vote.
Yeah.
And he's going to be the next mayor. And then you go over to Verona, you had a three-term former mayor, Bobby Williams, running against the current incumbent mayor, Robert Trice.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, for a while there, as the votes were coming in, you know, the first three boxes were incredibly close.
Yeah.
I mean, it was nip and tuck all the way, but the Ward 4 box, you know, Bobby Williams won it 103-30.
Yeah, he ended up winning 287-219, and, you know, Trice was the man who put him out of office four years ago after three terms, and now he gets it back. So it's interesting how that worked.
The odd thing is, you know, the soon-to-be, the former mayor and soon-to-be mayor again, you know, has sort of stayed away from politics for the past 4 years.
Yeah.
While the Mayor Trice was in, you know, so now he's going to have to be playing catch-up. He's going to have to run, start meeting with board members, trying to figure out what is going on, what's in the works, what's already been started, you know, what do we have to finish. So, I mean, you know, you go over to planners, well, at least Shelton Shannon is already on the board of aldermen, so he's been following what's going on. So, I mean, it'll be a little more of a smoother segue for him.
Remind me how Gloria Holland's related to Steve.
She is the wife of Steve Holland.
Okay.
Daughter-in-law of Justice Court Judge Sadie Holland.
Sadie Holland. And then you've got Billy Joe Holland, Steve's brothers, on the Lee County Board of Supervisors. So it's a family legacy.
That's right.
And it's unusual, I guess, for one of them to get into
the, you know, politics has been the Holland family game. You know, the empire breaking up a little bit. Billy Joe Holland recently defected from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party, and now we've got the losing the mayor's seat here. So
I will say, and one of the things nobody has really come out and said, you know, Glory had a medical issue. She had a seizure a couple of weekends ago.
Sure.
And, you know, she was diagnosed, had it's a benign brain tumor, but I mean, she will have to have surgery. That might have played some role in the, you know, voters' minds saying, all right, well, you know, she has this issue.
Yeah.
And then
tough.
On top of that, you know, Steve coming out saying he's going to retire and he's got early onset dementia.
Yeah.
It might be, you know, the folks in Plantersville decided, oh, I mean, we're going to have to make a shift here soon anyway. They might have decided just to go ahead and do it right now.
Yeah. Well, best wishes to her and Steve on their health there. Certainly, like we said, quite the legacy in that family in local and state politics. Looking at some other races, anything else stand out
to
you? The
other one, it was a lot of, you know, familiar faces going back in Baldwin. Incumbent Mayor Michael James easily defeated independent candidate Jane Thomason, you know, 434-85 votes. In Guntown, Mayor Bud Herring was unopposed. There was nine people running for the five alderman slots. You know, there were three of those people were incumbents. They easily won re-election, along with Darren Herring and William Davis.
Okay.
You know, and the other really, you know, race that folks were looking at was in down in Shannon, where Tim Tubb became the first ever Republican candidate in Shannon.
Yeah.
They just voted always. Everybody ran as a Democrat.
Which you see a lot in these small towns.
Yeah, you see it a lot in the small towns. I mean, usually it was everything settled in the primary and it's over and done with. You know, what after Tim came out as a Republican, another candidate actually came out as an alderman candidate for a Republican. So it was actually a general election for the first time in past recent history in Shannon. I mean, Ronnie Hallmark, the incumbent mayor, you know, fairly easily defeated Tubb for the mayor's job.
Yeah.
And then you had Lucy Blair, who has been an outspoken supporter of Shannon. I mean, she has worked hard for the town, but has never been elected.
Hmm.
She was one of the ones who helped them 10, 15 years ago when they shifted from having an at-large board of aldermen to actually having wards drawn up.
Okay.
And, you know, for the past three times, she has run for alderman. She's come close, but she's never made it, you know. And then back in the Democratic primary last month, she defeated the incumbent, James Oswald, by roughly a 2-1 vote. And then in the general election yesterday, she defeated Republican Gary Waldo by about a 2-1 vote.
Wow.
So she's happy to be... to get a chance now to officially serve
the
town, even though she's, you know, she's played an active role as a volunteer for years.
Looking outside of Lee County, one race that really stood out, obviously, is in Smithville, the mayor's race. Greg Kennedy had been mayor there since 01. I think he'd served four terms. He was there with a big tornado hit in 2011. You know, so he'd helped that town through a lot, but he lost a close one And I don't know if there's any affidavit ballots and whatnot out, but it's a three-vote difference as of last night. Earl Wayne Cowley, who's the vice mayor of Smithville, defeated Kennedy 80 votes to 77.
That's one where you have to figure there might be some affidavits out there, and even if not, you know, there might be a little bit of a challenge. Somebody might question the outcome of that one.
Yeah, that's that one caught me off guard a little bit there. Greg Kennedy just seems like he's been there forever.
Like you said, he led the town through
devastation,
and then the whole rebirth. I mean, because the town was literally almost wiped off the map,
right?
And everything has come back, you know, bigger and better. I mean, it's literally has been a rebirth.
Yeah. That's crazy. Well, good stuff here, guys. You can find more results and stories in today's Daily Journal, also at djournal.com. And we'll follow up on some other results that we couldn't gather Tuesday night, like up in Prentice County, Boonville, those areas. So look for more coverage there. Caleb, William, thanks for your time, fellas.
All right.
Be sure to check out the Two Sports Podcast we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Also, we have double coverage on Ole Miss and Mississippi State Sports Podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release new episodes every Thursday, in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
Don't forget, you can also catch the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video each weekday at 7 a.m. You can watch those for free at any time at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices.
Let's go down to Jackson now and visit with Bobby Harrison, our Capitol Bureau Chief. How you doing, Bobby?
All right, Brad. How you doing?
Doing well, sir. They kept things short and sweet on the special session on Monday, didn't they? Thought we might drag it into Tuesday at least, but got those budget bills passed and whatnot, didn't they?
Yeah, it looked for a while like it was going to go into Tuesday, but in the end, they were there kind of late, but they finished it on one day, wrapped up the special session work, I guess, by 8:30 somewhere thereabout, and the budget is set for the next budget year starting July 1st. Now that they just, you know, the hope's got to be that the revenue comes in to fund the budget.
Yeah. Department of Transportation has a $1.2 billion budget. It's about $100,000 less than last fiscal year. This past fiscal year, $175 million for the state aid road program. Yeah, $175 million. That's $20 million less than last year, and then $22.9 million for the Office of Attorney General. Attorney General Jim Hood said that represents a cut of about 28% over a 3-year period. I know there was an effort at one point Monday, wasn't there, Bobby, by the Democrats to try to increase the Attorney General funding?
Yeah, they tried two or three different things, Brad. One thing they tried was to he wins. You know, hardly a year goes by where he didn't win significant lawsuits settlement for the state against various companies and whatnot. And there was an effort to say that he had given him authority to deposit in that lawsuit settlement money in the general fund, the first $3 million of it, to go to his budget to make up the shortfall. But that was defeated by the leadership.
And then there's this Fortify Act, Bobby, has to do with the budgeting process. If you can kind of in layman's terms explain what that was about.
Yeah, I can't remember what the acronym stands for, Brad, but I don't even think I used it in the story. It was such a stretch, but in at least my special session story. But essentially, you know, over the past couple of years, as the revenue shortfall has been ongoing, and you know, the economy hasn't been improving as quickly as the economy in other states. The rating agencies that determine the state's credit rating they haven't downgraded the state's credit rating. They changed from a positive to negative, and had some negative comments. And these are some minor attempts to address some of the concerns of these rating agencies. The rating agencies. The big one would be to increase the statutory limit in the state's rainy day fund, what it's commonly called, it's the working cash stabilization fund, from 7.5% of major thing they did was to, or they're not going to advance any unencumbered cash balances at the end of the year to the next fiscal year to count that as part of park revenues. Instead, they're going to give the opportunity to capital expense fund and the rainy day fund. And the capital expense fund, what it does is it's a pot of money to deal with capital, to deal with maintenance and renovation issues on the state buildings.
Well, let's talk quickly about state revenue. I had a couple of good months of collections there in March and April. May, Bobby, I think the word we used was dismal. Maybe not surprising they were down, but down by 27.7%. Was that a little bit, take people aback a little bit?
Yeah, that was, I think this was a fair characterization. It was down 28%, 140 something million for the month of May, and now, you know, for the first 11 months of the budget year, they're down 150 something million, and you know, because they, you know, they've been, this has been an ongoing trend, so you know, that's why Governor Bryant's already made four rounds of budget cuts this fiscal year, and taken and transferred money out of the rainy day fund to try to offset additional cuts, and. Even though they're down 157 million, the state's in pretty good stead for this last month, unless they're way down again. The governor's not going to have to make any more budget adjustments. But we just have to see. It is another month in June, like it was in May. You kind of transfer more money out of the rainy day fund. Getting farther away from that 10% that we talked about.
Right. Right. Yeah. The fiscal year ends June 30th, so the new one starts July 1st, so we'll see how the revenue collections go from there. Good stuff, as always, from Bobby. You can find his work, of course, each day in the Daily Journal, also at djournal.com. He's on Twitter, at BobbyHarrison9. And if you want more Bobby, and who doesn't, we've got the Capital V webcast every Monday. You can watch it live at djournal.com around 2 p.m. If you miss it, catch the replay later in the day as Bobby gives us updates and analysis on everything happening down there in Jackson. A special session now over, but always stuff to write and talk about. Bobby, as always, thank you for your time, sir.
All right, thank you, Brad. Have a good day.
Well, that's it. That's the show. That was easy.
It's done.
Yeah. A little shorter than normal. Again, Kiefer's not here.
I think you pulled all the punches on this one, so good for you.
I pulled all the punches.
Yeah. You did all the heavy lifting.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's fine.
You did well.
Maggie Bushway is going to actually put this together and make us sound good.
Oh, well. Sound, make you sound good.
And you.
There's not much you can be done with that. But we could come back on Friday and try again.
We could. We will do that.
Okay, let's try that.
For the fun episode, as I call it. Scott Morris will be here. Jenna Parsons. That's the plan, anyway.
Tis.
Yes. We'll talk about food, movies, and entertainment and all that cool, fun stuff. We could talk about Cubicle City. Would that be good? Could we do that? Am I too close to the story?
Your your feature film debut?
My silver screen debut.
Mm-hmm.
Next Tuesday at Malco. A little short film by Glenn Payne. Don't actually see my face, so mercifully.
You speak, though, right?
I do speak with the help of some audio enhancements.
They make you sound...
They make me sound scarier
like
than
a wolf.
I actually am. Something, I don't know.
Are you a wolf?
No, I don't know what I am. Some kind of monster. I look kind of like maybe Monsters, Inc. What's the guy's name? The big guy.
Sully.
A little bit like him, maybe.
Werewolves of London?
I don't know. It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
You can promote that a little bit if you want to.
Okay, I may do that.
Yeah,
come Friday.
We'll let you. All right.
Great. All right, that does it. Again, you can find this show a variety of ways. We're in iTunes, Google Play, any of your podcast apps. Also online at memo.djournal.com. If you use a podcast app, just click the subscribe button and you'll get notified when we have new episodes. You can also find out about new episodes from the Twitter account I just mentioned. We'll be back, like I said, on Friday. So for Derek Russell, I'm Brad Locke. Y'all have a good one.